Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We welcome you to hour number 3, our third and final live right here on a Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. A spring training baseball game to begin the spring today between the Dodgers and the Cubs. We just previewed basically the entirety of the 2025 MLB season. We'll do that in the lead up about a month away from opening day. First in Japan between these Cubbies and Dodgers, and then March 27th. I believe is the full opening day around MLB. Here in this third and final hour, let's get you ready for a huge Thursday night in sports. Our four nations face-off championship game tonight in Beantown inside TD Garden, the United States and Canada. TV Tom Vecchio joins us in just a little bit for his prop perspective and how he breaks down this fascinating rivalry tonight in Boston. We are also fully back in the NBA after a standalone game last night, our first ending the All-Star break. 9 games of association action on this Thursday, DRS, including 18 teams. Will Luka Doncic and LeBron play tonight in Portland? And plenty other questions around the NBA. Some college basketball to end it. A ton of fun here on the early line.
Absolutely. Hour number 3. And by the way, we got a little bit out of the scope here with Major League Baseball. Because understand this. We don't need 30 spring training games and a 162-game schedule. Can we speed this up? Can we make pitchers actually arrive in December, get stretched out so we can hit the ground running right off the bat and not say, oh, I'll see you sometime in May and I can't go more than 4 innings here. Stop the nonsense. But also baseball. You need to correct this problem and do it fast. Let's equate this end to the NFL compared to Major League Baseball. Next year, opening night on a Thursday. Philadelphia Eagles, Detroit Lions, let's call it there. Ooh, what a great game it was. Let's just say the Eagles win 27-24. Then the Eagles go back and play 2 preseason games before their first regular season game with the rest of the league. Why do we do this in baseball? Major League Baseball opening day is a special day for everybody to compete at the same time with your team here. We open the season overseas and then stop the season, and then that team goes back to spring training before they play their next regular season game. I can't stand that. It makes no sense, and it ruins the thought of opening day.
All about international branding, I guess, DRS. And with so many Japanese superstars on both of those rosters, that's why they do it. Not just Shohei Ohtani, Yoshi Yamamoto, and now Roki Sasaki for LA, but Shota Imanaga.
But we can't do it opening day? Like, we can't just have that series opening weekend?
Yeah,
like, what's the point?
You're right. I don't know. You're Commissioner Wrightside. Get in the building. Super far from MLB's offices here in Manhattan if you want to come in for the day. I can probably get you in.
Exactly. I mean, I will whip this sport in the shape. By the way, Rob Manfred, by far, if we're talking about the rankings on commissioners here, he'd be the toughest one to topple. The man has been absolutely gold the past 5 years. So when you talk about the Mount Rushmore of great commissioners, Manfred, number one all time, not even close.
That's a joke, right?
No. Every single decision he's made in the rules market in the past 5 years, absolutely grand slam, quadruple home runs.
What? How so?
Pitch clock, DH, shift. I mean, legendary moves in the market. By far the best commissioner in professional sports. Not even close.
In terms of gameplay, okay, of those updates.
We've never seen better changes ever. Never in any sport from any commissioner here. Everyone was a home run.
I feel like you might be standing alone and thinking that Rob Manfred is the best commissioner even currently, let alone in the history of sports.
Like, what do we not like about it? Oh, we wanted the shift so nobody can get a base hit. Oh, we love pitchers striking out. Oh, we love sitting around for 9 hours in the ballpark because pitchers pitch once every 5 minutes. Like, he's made legendary changes that you can't even argue with. Only imbeciles out here that are still saying, like, man, I miss the old game when pitchers would walk around the mound for 30 minutes here. Like, you're actually people complain, like, I used to like to go to the ballpark and drink 7 beers. Now I can only drink 3 because the game's faster and more entertaining. Idiots.
You can still drink 7 if you drink fast enough. I do like that for you, DRS. He's got some big picture questions, though, to answer when that new collective bargaining agreement comes up to try to stop what many feel is the unfair nature now that the Dodgers have exposed in Major League Baseball. All right, let's get to the NBA because we are fully back around the association now after the All-Star break. And as we have shared, DRS, countless times here on the early line in the last few days and few weeks, it's not the second half of the season. It's the stretch run of the regular season. Many teams around the NBA, 53, 54, 55, 56, even 57 games already played out of 82 in the regular season. These are the most significant games of the year to crystallize your playoff position. Play in tournament spot, playoff spot right away, trying to get into either, and of course your seed line to make that deep playoff run. So let's talk about the best of the best in the race for the Larry O'Brien Trophy. Who's going to win this year's championship? What's the best bet? That was the question for all of you in Fade the Public. Which team is the best bet to win the NBA championship? At Sports Grid on Twitter, that was the question. The Celtics, the reigning champs, and the short favorites all year at plus 175. But the gap used to be a lot wider for Boston in front of everybody else around the NBA. Now the Oklahoma City Thunder matching the Cavaliers with that best record in the NBA, and the best record by far out west. Not all that far behind. 2-1 price for OKC. As I mentioned, the Thunder, 44-10. Same mark for the Cavs, 44-10 as well. But the third best price to win the NBA championship at plus 850. Or we asked for another team in there and asked for a reply. Donnie, as the odds makers have it, which is not overly shocking, it's a pretty tight race between the Celtics and the Thunder, and both of those teams well in front of everybody else. 38% of the votes or that for Boston, 33% for OKC. Which way did you vote in this Fade the Public poll?
I voted for the Cavaliers, plus 850, just price appropriate, that's all. Plus 175 are the Celtics, the best team over in the NBA. They probably are, but I'm not paying a plus 175 price. It's not enough return on my investment. You take a look at the Thunder, who I do think are the best team out there on the West, no question about it, but they don't have the pedigree of making multiple runs to, you know, to say Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals, and winning NBA championships. So you're still going to have to get over the hump. Now, you might say, well, Donnie, what do you mean? Cavaliers, they're not known for making multiple runs outside of LeBron James' year to make the Eastern Conference Finals and win NBA championships. But to me, it just looks good. Plus 850, the number one seed here. It's going to have to go through their building in the East Conference. For sure. So you do take a look at the Celtics and say, maybe that's the advantage they need to get into the finals and play a team in the Thunder who, again, aren't used to being in the NBA Finals, let alone winning championships here. Price appropriate. If it was all plus 100, of course, my stance is different. Cavs plus 850 for me.
DRS, I think it's a great point, right? Because the Fade the Public poll question was not who is going to win the NBA championship. What is the best bet for the NBA championship odds? I still believe that one of the two, Boston or OKC, will play in the NBA finals. Frankly, I think both of them will play each other. I think that is going to be more likely than not our NBA finals matchup. But it's not the greatest bettable price right now. You're not getting value on that for any of the other 7 playoff teams on either side of the league to stand in the way of the Seas or the Thunder. So I selected other, and I backed the Denver Nuggets, a 13-1 price for the Nugs, who have won 8 straight games entering the All-Star break, in action tonight at home at Mile High. And frankly, DRS, of the other teams, and certainly in the Western Conference, Denver's that main team that has the postseason pedigree and the proven track record, winning an NBA championship just 2 years ago. We'll continue to talk the NBA and get you ready for the day after the All-Star break. That's today, next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. We are back in the association, a full, not quite all 30 NBA clubs or a 15-game slate, but much larger than a standalone game, NBA action tonight following the All-Star break. Again, this begins not the second half, but the stretch run of this NBA season around out our 82-game regular season. And an interesting game, DRS, begins with the San Antonio Spurs and the Phoenix Suns. But not in Phoenix, not even in San Antonio, but elsewhere in the Lone Star State. Tonight's game between the Spurs and Suns played in Austin at the home of the Texas Longhorns. This will be a matchup to welcome back KD, a homecoming for Durant, but also part of the Spurs I-35 series to have them engage with other parts of the state of Texas. The Spurs remain in Austin for a matchup tomorrow against the Detroit Pistons as well. Intriguing game, DRS, for two teams with some very noteworthy players around the NBA, but two teams currently on the outside of the Western Conference play-in tournament looking in. Phoenix, a two-point favorite in Austin, over under 239 on the rise. What's the play?
Yeah, you take a look at the opening line, it was minus two for the San Antonio Spurs. You say, well, how did it get the minus two here for the Phoenix Suns? Well, looks like Victor Wembanyama not going to play tonight. So that, hey, let's take our superstar on the road throughout the state of Texas, and it looks like he won't play tonight. Advantage for the Suns. Jones, Booker, O'Neal, Durant, and Richards expected to be in the starting lineup. And, of course, Bradley Beal and Grayson Allen coming off the bench. I agree with the line movement, and I do think the Phoenix Suns are the better team tonight without Victor Wembanyama here for the San Antonio Spurs.
KD in the final week before the All-Star break, multiple 30-plus point games, but I think both coming in losses for the Suns. You would think returning back to Austin tonight, where he spent a sensational freshman season with the Texas Longhorns 2007-08, if I'm not mistaken. His points prop tonight, 26.5 to give the people a show against the Spurs. And Donnie, again, every for teams trying to improve their playoff position, to get into the play-in tournament, to have that postseason possibility, or just their seed in the regular playoffs, is going to be important now. The Suns, 26-28, lost three straight entering the All-Star break, a game and a half behind both the Kings and the Warriors for those final two spots in the play-in tournament. And of course, after San Antonio acquired De'Aaron Fox in a blockbuster deal during NBA trade deadline week, would they be able, the partnership of Wemby and Fox, to realize a playoff spot? A lot of work to be done, 3.5 games behind those two teams from Northern California.
Yeah, no, there is a lot to be determined here over the remaining parts of the season. And it's one of those teams that I talked about with the Phoenix Suns. I hate them in the regular season. They don't perform all that well. They don't look like a good ball club. Then you get to the playoffs with the extended breaks, and you look at that roster and say, why not KD? You know, why not Booker? Why can't Bradley Beal step up one more time? Grayson Allen do a couple maybe kick leg trips out there to help out the boys and get the tensions rising in the locker room. Like, why not Phoenix? Games like this, though, are very important. Now that you're the favorites, and if Wembanyama doesn't play, you got to win this game, because if you don't, these games slip away further and further away from you trying to even make the playoffs, which means even getting in the play-in rounds.
The Suns, the worst cover team in the NBA, also the worst underdog, but their favorites tonight. 19-34-1 against the spread. A cover percentage shy of even 36%. Even money, plus 100 for Phoenix to be a Western Conference play-in tourney team. San Antonio, more work to do at plus 210. Same story, DRS, for Philadelphia. Despite the fact the 76ers are 14 games sub 500 at 20-35. They are only a game and a half out of the Eastern Conference play-in tournament because of how porous most of the teams in that play-in tournament range are. Everybody, all four teams, currently two games below 500 or worse. The Sixers at home tonight. That should be good. But they get the NBA title favorites and the reigning champs in the Boston Celtics. The C's a 7-point road favorite in Philadelphia. Total stands at 223 and a hook.
Yeah, Sixers are really bad, but they actually should be rested coming out of the break. Not too many all-stars on that roster for the Sixers here, but if you do look at the anticipated starting lineup for the Celtics, it's good to go. Holiday, White, Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis right out of the gate, but also like you saw, sometimes when you're away from the game and it's going to be a road game slash home game, doesn't matter. You saw last night with the Charlotte squad going out to Los Angeles and winning a game where they were getting double digits outright. I'm not saying the Sixers are going to win outright, but if you remember, the last time I believe the Celtics played the Sixers in Philadelphia, we were down in New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Sixers had like a 20-plus lead late in the third quarter and ended up losing that game outright to the Celtics, but that was without really any starters in that game outside of Tyrese Maxey. So for me, I'll take the Sixers, who were getting as many as 8 points this morning. It's now down to 7. Still 7.5, said a lot of outlets out there. I'll take the Sixers tonight in an underdog role to keep it close right out of the All-Star break.
52 games for the Celtics this year, booked as a favorite, as you would expect for the reigning champs and the short favorites all season long. 52 games of 55 for the Celtics. They are 39-16. They trail the Cavs by 5.5 games, covering the number as a favorite, just 22-29-1 against the spread. Don, we've said this a few times as well, only 5.5 games back, I guess, of Cleveland, but the way the Cavaliers are playing, that's a really large margin to make up in about 27 games to end out the regular season. Boston would have to go on an absolute tear, and at 39-16, they've been pretty good, but maybe not matching our sky-high expectations, at least in the regular season, and the Cavaliers would truly have to stumble. We don't expect Cleveland to do that. So to your point about the Cavs earlier to start off this hour, the number one seed feels pretty firm for the Cavaliers. The Sixers, they need to win games. I was going to say keep winning games. They have not done that. But they can't take too many nights off, and you're not sure exactly who is going to be in the lineup. Philly this year, DRS, just 12-17-2 against the spread as an underdog. I shared this earlier this week, Donnie. I used a 30% profit boost on our lovely FanDuel Sportsbook to bet the Sixers to make the postseason with just a little sprinkle for some hope.
Yes, and that's all you can ask for at this point, too. And understand this, there's going to be a short leash. You're probably going to get 10 games to try to be competitive. Yep. If not, they might shut it all down here and try to tank out to see if they can capture the flag.
It's a great point, DRS. If it doesn't work quickly, might be just rest up for the remainder of this year. More around the NBA up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, a big NBA slate now as we return to action around the association after the All-Star break. Two games we have already previewed, the Spurs and the Suns in Austin, a return for Kevin Durant, the 76ers at home hosting the reigning champs and the current championship favorites in the Boston Celtics. Donnie, a team that I know you are intrigued by, the Milwaukee Bucks. Currently right now in the Eastern Conference standings, 29-24 in the 5 spot. Only a game out of that 4 spot, which would be hosting an opening round playoff series behind the Indiana Pacers. If fully healthy, can Giannis and Dame get them there to have home floor advantage, at least to start off the postseason, and maybe make some playoff noise? Milwaukee at home tonight playing host to the LA Clippers, but as an underdog, as I believe the Bucks are still awaiting the return of Giannis Antetokounmpo. 228.5, the number tonight inside the Pfizer Forum.
Yeah, that line might be indicating there that we might not see him just yet. A -1.5 point favorite at the opening number on the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey has now moved to a -2 point favorite towards the road team, the Los Angeles Clippers. I am looking at the anticipated starting lineups tonight. It does include Antetokounmpo along with Lillard, Jackson, Kuzma, and Brook Lopez here for the Bucks. But if we're looking at the Clippers, full go for them. Harden, Dunn, Powell, Leonard, and Zubac. By the way, if you are just reading into the line, maybe it does say Clippers, but also understand this. Giannis hasn't played a lot of basketball lately, you know, being injured and then the All-Star game. He's not just going to come back and play 37 minutes in a game against the Los Angeles Clippers and be right. You see the struggles that we see with guys like Luka Doncic just trying to return back to the court. He'll give you a great effort if he's out there, but I agree with that line movement here. It's the Clippers or nobody for me tonight versus the Bucks, just for that simple form. You might catch that. If Giannis isn't playing, Clippers are going to win that game. If Giannis does play, There's no guarantee that he's going to be 100% playing a ton of minutes like he usually does in the regular season. Give me the Clippers. I do think that -2 now, movement to them, makes some sense.
Yeah. Donnie loves the Clippers. Donnie loves Norman Powell, who plays for the Clippers. Death, taxes, 3-plus made threes for Powell, -145. L.A. booked as a favorite this year has been darn good, 18-11 against the number. Expected to win, they also cover quite often. We mentioned Indy, right? The Indiana Pacers, who are in that 4 spot right now with a game advantage over the Milwaukee Bucks. In Indy tonight, the Pacers play host to the team with the second best record in the Western Conference. That would be the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizz, also a slight road favorite in Indianapolis, 2-point spread. But Donnie, take a look at the total. 249.5, no longer. 250 are over under tonight inside Indianapolis.
Crazy. Now, also, I understand that guys are just coming back from break and maybe shots aren't available. We know we're betting the total based on what we anticipate the pace to be. But what is that pace? Like, we're not playing basketball over the past week for most of these players. We're just going to get back in top court shape and run up and down and be ultra efficient. I actually would lean towards the under just based on that fact coming out of the break. You saw a game last night. And again, it's only a one game runoff here. 197 total points out there with the Lakers, where they basically fell asleep by the second quarter and weren't able to recover. But this line also opened up here in New Jersey for the Memphis Grizzlies as a -1, and that's now -2 with other outlets across the board showing as high as 2.5s at this point right now. I do think the Memphis Grizzlies are the better team. I'll back them on the road even as a public favorite, but just not actually handicapping and looking at the total, I probably just go to the under because the expectations aren't that we're getting ultra clean basketball right off the bat.
Both teams can score into the 120s, and you still have a chance of this being under now at 250. Memphis has played a ton of their games to the over this year. Second highest over percentage in the NBA, 63%. Only the Cavs have a higher over percentage at 67.7%. The Grizzlies, the best cover team when booked as a favorite. Line slightly working against them. 2 right now on FanDuel was 2.5. But 24-11 against the number this year. Two really good teams covering spreads where they are according to that number right now. Indiana, of course, as an underdog this season as well. 12-10 against the spread, but 11 outright wins for the Pacers when booked as an underdog. We know the Pacers live up to their name and play at that up-tempo pace, if you will. Indiana, though, 7 of their 10 games before the break over. They haven't been the strongest over team for the entirety of this NBA campaign. DRS, keep an eye on Memphis. If things hold, and they should, yet they're 8 games back of OKC. But the Grizz have a chance to be the 2 seed in the Western Conference 3 of the previous 4 years.
Yeah, not a lot of huge expectations, at least from me entering into the season, playing great basketball. Still feel like they're flying under the radar, but as you said, probably going to wind up with the #2 seed in the West here. Could be some fun to watch the rest of the way.
We'll talk some more action around the association, but also our 4 Nations face-off with TV Tom Beckman.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid. And on a Thursday this monumental across the sports landscape, that's not the NBA returning from the All-Star break with a 9-game docket, but a 4 Nations face-off and a championship bout tonight between the bitter border rivals in Boston. It's the United States and Canada. Of course, we could turn to one place in this final hour to handicap, break down, and get you ready for this matchup. That would be TV Tom Vecchio of Sports Grid, live right here on TEL. Vecchio, every single angle of the 4 Nations face-off championship tilt tonight between the Americans and the Canadians. With you here in this segment, we are very pleased to have you here.
I am beyond excited for tonight's game. I watched Miracle on Ice last night to get ready for this. I am fully on board right from puck drop. I will be on in-game live right as we get things started at 8:14 to give my final thoughts on that. But it's going to be largely the same starting out by looking at the under.
So as we start, Vecchio, you mentioned the under, total at 5.5. These two teams played in a ferocious game on Saturday. The United States victorious 3-1, including a late third period goal from Jake Guentzel, his second of the night, on an empty net. You see the odds there. It is an even money line pick'em, minus 110 on both sides. That total of 5 and a hook. Vecchio, we ask you for basically every game. Do you believe the odds will follow how the game is decided? Are we expecting a game with a razor-thin margin and relatively low scoring tonight in Boston?
That's what we should be seeing. Yeah, lower scoring. The players coming into this are saying that, you know, it feels like a Stanley Cup game. It feels like a Stanley Cup game seven, whatever it might be. We have a player like Jack Eichel who played, you know, won a Stanley Cup. He played in an NCAA final, which he didn't win, but he said this is like a game that has the highest level of emotion, highest level of intensity you could possibly have. So if we saw, if we see any amount of scoring in the first period, as we saw, you know, a couple of nights ago, and this jumps up to 6.5, I don't think it'll get to 7.5, but I will be willing to buy back in on the under 6.5, whatever it might be. Even if there's going to be juice under 6.5, minus 150, I'm still going to be looking to buy back in. Teams, both teams, I should say, are going to be really, really tight to start things off. They're going to be dumping and chasing. I think we're going to see a lack of scoring chances, a lack of shots overall, very close checking, staying in on the forecheck. Like, we may see both teams end with fewer than 10 shots in the first period. A clear lack of scoring, I think, is the way we should be anticipating this.
Yeah, take a look at Saturday. I asked, you know, we had a guest on earlier, Pete Jensen from the NHL Network, saying, you know, are you taking anything here, Tom, out of games from Saturday that were played until tonight? Because obviously the Team USA won. That was in Canada 3-1. Do you look for that same sort of lower scoring? Because I know you're on the under, but are we getting that same sort of format where the goalies might dominate in this one?
I think we will, and, you know, this would say, okay, if we're going to see lower scoring, do we turn to, like, a goalie save prop? I just don't know how many chances we're going to be seeing. Like, we're going to see this as a full-intensity playoff game, Stanley Cup game, where the players are going to be selling out to block every single shot. So, yes, can you take a shot on, you know, listen, McDavid at plus 220 for a goal, or Crosby plus 350, like, these are lines we legitimately never get in. When it comes to points, you know, seeing Nathan MacKinnon at minus 146, that may seem like a little bit of juice for some people, but MacKinnon for 1 point, like in a normal regular season game, he's like minus 250 or minus 300 for 1 point. So you could take some shots with some players here or there, but I think this is a game that is clear, under each and every time. The only thing that'll possibly send this over is if we get multiple empty net goals, not just one, but multiple empty net goals would be the only thing that sends this game over.
A star-studded affair, Vecchio, on both sides. You saw those big-time players on the board. You can go up and down the list and well beyond the three options we gave you on either team and find one of the most recognizable names in the sport of hockey. In your estimation, who delivers on this monumental stage tonight inside TD Garden?
It's got to be Mr. Canada, Sidney Crosby. As much as I hate to say it, minus 128 is a, for one plus, just 1 point, is a very, very fair line. And obviously, you know, when he plays alongside Nathan MacKinnon, the goal scoring potential from just MacKinnon alone will put Crosby always in a spot to get an assist. And again, you know, we're talking about lines for Crosby that are normally minus 200 on a normal regular season game. Obviously, we have to take this with a grain of salt, considering the circumstances are so unique, and we are dealing with a 5.5 over-under. We're dealing with the shot props for these players that are 1.5 or 2.5 for MacKinnon, 2.5 for McDavid. These are lines we normally never get. So I would lower your expectations from a scoring perspective tonight, but we should still be in for legitimately one of the best games of hockey we have seen over the last decade.
Going over some of these props here, certainly from Canada, as we see, like, Sidney Crosby, anytime point, you like that at the minus 128 price. Give me somebody from Team USA we can watch tonight. Goal scorer, points prop, like, who do you like from Team USA?
So, Dylan Larkin's been awesome. Really, really awesome. And he was on the fourth line. They bumped him to the third line. A player that is, you know, the captain of the Detroit Red Wings. He's a player that I think will show up when it matters most. And it's maybe due to the fact that he has been set in this bottom six role, which is normally not the role he plays as a top line center. And all the focus will be on Matthews and Eichel and Jack Hughes and the Tkachuk brothers. Dylan Larkin has been amazing. And he had that game winning goal when they played Canada the first time. So I like him potentially for a goal. But if you want to go for a shot prop on him, I think that would actually be a good spot, because maybe he gets lost in the shuffle a little bit if he's still playing alongside Kyle Connor, who's a proven 40-50 goal scorer. Dylan Larkin may get lost in the shuffle tonight.
Vecchio, as you expect, a tightly contested, low-scoring game. The goalies starting in net are going to be a huge reason why. Jordan Binnington has been a surprise in a good way for the Canadians. But, of course, I would say, as you have told us, the best goaltender in the National Hockey League and on this planet, wears the stripes of the United States. That would be Connor Hellebuyck, who is the favorite to win the Four Nations Faceoff MVP award. I'll ask you the question like this. If the Americans win tonight in Boston, is Hellebuyck the MVP?
Almost certainly. I would say almost certainly. It would be a surprise to not see him win, considering what he's done. As I mentioned a couple days ago, you know, Jake Gensel has multiple goals. If Jake Gensel has multiple goals and none of them are empty net goals, that may put him in a spot to win, right? Seeing him have, you know, the extra empty net goal the other night was great in that kind of, I don't want to say stat padding, but if he has multiple goals tonight, especially a game-winning goal that isn't an empty net goal, that could put Jake Gensel in a spot just based on the, you know, overall goals in the tournament. I will also say Nathan MacKinnon on the other side, considering he is this multi-goal threat on an every-night basis, he would also be in the mix. Instead of going to the chalk with McDavid, MacKinnon could be the answer for Team Canada.
Also, Tommy, take a look at Team USA with Austin Matthews here. Plus 210 prices in anytime goal scoring market. Obviously, we know how talented he is, but the sickness that we're hearing, who knows if it's an injury at this point. What's your trust level in some of these injured players coming into tonight?
You know, this is where I have a tough time trusting any of them. And I said this at the beginning of the tournament. Yeah. There's a chance that we don't see Matthews score. We don't see Jack Eichel, Jack Hughes score. We're going to see some of these depth players score, and that's where Gensel comes in. That's where Dylan Larkin comes in. This is where we may continue to see some good scoring from someone like Zach Werenski, the power play quarterback, the defender. So I don't have a whole lot of trust in those players. And I actually think looking to some of these secondary, as usual, as I always say, tertiary options on any team in any sport, that's where we're going to find the most value, and that's where we actually can find players that can still get it done.
9-game slate tonight, Vecchio, as well. After the All-Star break around the association, we are fully back in the NBA. What's your best play for this NBA slate on a Thursday?
Yeah, you guys talked about it in the last segment right before the commercial break. Like, Indiana going up against Memphis, a 250 total is insanely high. And I know you guys went through it. Both these teams, they played to the over this season. They play super fast. They get up and down. They get up scoring. But, you know, what we saw last night, I would say, is at least somewhat of an indication of what we're going to be seeing from teams, at least to start the first few days. You know, Saturday, Sunday, especially some second half overs, that's where I think teams will start to get into play. But I'm not saying either of these teams are the Charlotte Hornets of what we saw last night, you know, 100 to 97 game against the Lakers, but 250 is way, way too high the first game out of the All-Star break. So Saturday, in-game live, which I'm doing with Joe Ranieri, second half overs for teams, that's where I think they'll start to finally get things, you know, in the flow of things. That's where the scoring will start to come. But 250 is way too high tonight.
A ridiculously high number, even for a Pacers team that went over in 7 of its last 10 games before the break, in a Memphis team with the second highest over percentage. Vecchio, the NBA is going to be great tonight, don't get us wrong, but this Four Nations Face-Off championship game in Boston is going to be electric. Quickly remind the people, you're live on In-Game Live at what time tonight?
8:14, final thoughts leading up to puck drop. Again, the under tonight is the play.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, a 9-game slate as we return to the NBA tonight back in the association after the All-Star break. But some pretty big news for a Milwaukee Bucks team trying to make a charge of the Eastern Conference standings to better their playoff position. Big game BP. Bobby Portis has been suspended for 25 games by the NBA DRS for violating the league's anti-drug policy. In a statement from his agent, quote, Bobby unintentionally took a pain medication called Tramadol, thinking he was taking a pain medication called Toradol. Toradol is an approved pain medication that he has used previously and that the teams and players use for pain and inflammation at times. Tramadol, however, is not an improved pain medication. Those tricky dolls, man, Tora, Trama, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, like I play for an NBA team which has an extensive group of doctors. Any medications you want to prove, but I'm going to take an assistant to my wife's pill here from a prescription. Stop the madness. Can't we just admit it? Hey, look, man, I was taking this. I shouldn't have been taking it. I'll take the 25-game suspension and be through with it. But the fact that we're led to believe what, again, a fleet of doctors at every call you make that they tell you repeatedly, do not take anything that we do not prescribe. You're a professional athlete making millions millions of dollars and you're just going to take a prescribed thing that your wife or an assistant gave you, stop it. Just admit you tried to cheat and cut corners here. Live up to it. We'll all forget about it. It's no big deal.
That's not going to help an appeal, DRS, to admit your guilt right from the very jump. The Bucs are going to need big game BP down this stretch to be that reserve role player that has been key for Milwaukee at times. 29-24. You do the quick mental math. 53 games for the Bucs played so far. Only 29 remaining. Missing 25 of 29. That's not good. Milwaukee
rested
a 2-point
and ready,
home
though,
dog.
Man. Rested and ready. He'll be rested and ready for the playoffs, man. Maybe. Maybe it's good.
Fair point. Fair point. Yeah. 2-point home dog for Milwaukee tonight inside the Pfizer Forum as they take on Donnie's West Coast team. That would be the L.A. Clippers. So we have already previewed a ton of our 9 games today around the association. Let's go to Madison Square Garden. Huge one for the Knicks tomorrow, I believe, at home against the Cavaliers. But before that, they take on the Chicago Bulls. 12-point spread in favor of New York. Not your father's Tom Thibodeau. 244, that total now on the rise for the Garden Party against Chicago. What do you like?
Yeah, why not? Take the points in this one again. That same scenario we saw last night. I'm so glad you just pointed out that the Knicks have a monster game tomorrow night in the Garden. So we playing guys, Tibbs, 48 minutes tonight apiece, only to play the Cavaliers tomorrow once again. I mean, my goodness, give me the points here again. No X's and O's in this game. We don't know how these teams are going to come out. I usually take the underdog specifically when they don't even have to win the game or play well and still cover that spread.
We have seen it often, DRS. You can lose this game by 10. It might not be all that competitive, and Chicago can still cover. 18-22-1 for the Bulls as a dog this year. 41 of their 55 games booked as a dog. Chicago is 11 games sub 500, and still the season ended right now. They would be in a play-in tournament as the 10 seed in the Eastern Conference, trying to hold off the Philadelphia 76ers. Huge one for the Knicks tomorrow night at home inside the Garden against the Cleveland Cavaliers. The New York Knicks trying to prove, DRS, that against the best of the best, they can go out there, compete, and win games, not just beat the worst of the worst. And Cleveland not going to have a very far trip, even on the second leg of a back-to-back, as the Cavs are in Brooklyn tonight to take on the Nets. Cleveland 13-point favorite. 225.5 is the total. Another large spread, DRS. First game out of the All-Star break. Can the Nets stay within striking distance?
They probably can. They're bad. But again, the Cavaliers coming out of the break on the road, knowing they have a game in the Garden. And the one thing that does actually help both of these teams is the back-to-back for the Knicks is going to be at home. The back-to-back for the Cavaliers won't necessarily be in the same arena, but still the same city, maybe staying in the same hotel. So you might get a cleaner product tomorrow night here. But if I'm just going to be true to what I'm looking at here, I can't tell you, Ben. Yeah, we're taking the Cavs by 20-plus points tonight. Like, no, just coming off of that break, it leaves a lot to be desired. And again, if you're offering me 2 touchdowns on a spread, even with a bad basketball team, I'm still taking the 2 touchdowns tonight. I just am. And I guess last night sort of can jade that thought process because it worked perfectly last night. Why not tonight? Maybe these teams are bad. They get beat by 30 tonight. That's still a possibility as well.
Much like last night, DRS, the Hornets have been booked as an underdog in basically every game this year.
Right. Yeah.
And they're a really good cover team. Same story for the Nets. They're 25-20-1 against the spread. When you're a bad basketball team, and the odds makers know it, but you're staying within margin, and you're keeping games closer perhaps than expected, it's really all you can ask. Getting 13 points at home, first game after the All-Star break. Cleveland 44-10 straight up, 35-19 against the number, both matching the best straight up record alongside OKC in the best ATS record alongside Memphis around the NBA. Two teams that are comfortable and play in tournament positions, at least the Atlanta Hawks for sure, squaring off tonight. The Orlando Magic, an ever so slight road favorite in the A, a point, -118 money line now, 222.5 is the total. The Magic in Atlanta, these two teams, DRS, this could be a play-in tourney preview. Orlando 27-29, Atlanta 26-29. If the season ended today, it would be that 7-8 matchup. What do we see tonight in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm going to go Orlando in this one. I'll lay the minus 1 points here. Again, we're not taking – I think they're the better team overall, but they don't have to lay 7, 8, 9, 10, 13, 14 points in this one. You're just asking for a victory. Estimated starting lineup tonight for the Magic includes Cole Anthony, KCP, Wagner, Boncaro, and Badazzi. So a good-looking lineup tonight. I'll roll with the Orlando Magic in A-Town tonight to create some magic.
DRS, two other teams, both in action last night in our standalone game, play the second leg of a back-to-back, both in a change of venue. The Hornets go from L.A. on the road to Denver. They're catching 16 points. We have told you, a really good cover team. However, Denver, winners of eight straight entering the All-Star break, playing some great basketball. The Lakers, a 3.5-point road favorite in the Rose City against the Trailblazers. The Blazers also covering a ton of numbers, booked as an underdog frequently. No props listed just yet for L.A. Are we going to see LeBron and or Luka? They got to kind of start getting better out of Luka Doncic than we have seen so far. DRS, enjoy the money line.
Yeah.
Have a great time on this Thursday. We'll talk tomorrow on a Friday. We round out the early lineup now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the early line on Sports Grid, we round out our 3 hours together on this Thursday. As we get you ready for everything in sports, we'll look at the odds one final time for the Four Nations face-off championship game between the Canadians and the Americans. Tonight, it's the U.S. and Canada in Boston inside TD Garden. 9-game slate around the NBA. Plenty of action for you to enjoy as the All-Star break is through. The stretch run of this NBA regular season truly begins in full tonight. We also have got a couple of good Big Ten games on the docket in college basketball. Not a huge Thursday night slate around the country, but again, a couple of good ones in the Big Ten. Ohio State tries to stay in tournament position. Double-digit favorite at home, laying 10.5, I should say, against an injured Northwestern team that has been feisty. 142.5 is that total. Keep an eye on James Madison as things go in the Sun Belt. We've got some good ones in the Coastal Athletic Association. That would be known as the CAA. And a really intriguing team in the spring break destination of the Northeast in College Park. It's number 20, Maryland. Now, the Terps, from a metric perspective, are really, really stout. They are 17th in offensive efficiency. They are 21st in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. Those are the exact metrics that you would want if you were to handpick a team, balanced on both sides, competitive on both sides, to be a team to make a deep run in the big dance, to be a factor in the NCAA tournament. And right now, Ken Willard's team is exactly that. 20 wins this season, 10-5 in the Big Ten. They have won 7 of their last 8. They play at a high tempo. They defend you very well in the half court. Again, a lot to love. They've got an outstanding, talented freshman big in Derek Queen. They've got a guy that hunts the glass and scores in Julian Reese. They've got one of the better guards that you probably haven't heard much about in Jacoby Gillespie in the Big Ten right now. In fact, they have a starting five that has scored nearly 85% of their total points this year. They are not known for their depth, but they are known for their starting unit. In fact, you heard of the Fab Five, of course, at Michigan. Maryland starting to call this starting five with all that they are asked and delivered game in, game out, known as the Crab Five. Yeah, that's some catchy branding with shirts to round it out. You got guys like Rodney Rice and Celta Miguel in that starting five as well. They play a majority of the production for the Terps night in, night out. They do most of the scoring. Could depth be an issue in the NCAA tournament? We shall see. But so far, Maryland is looking really good and not out of that Big Ten title race. We'll talk about that in just a moment. The Terrapins at home tonight, 10.5-point favorite against USC. The Trojans in a little bit of a tailspin here as of late. Total at 153.5. Maryland on Sunday, laying double digits against an Iowa team that doesn't defend the ball all that well. It felt a little bit light, turned out to be. Maryland won that game by 26, scoring more than 100 points. 101-75, I believe, was that final score. Yes, indeed it was. Maryland covering that number. When we look at the Terrapins this year in terms of how they have performed, as we said, they have covered, or they have won 3 in a row. They have won 6 of their last 7 in Big Ten play. In terms of covering those numbers, they've covered in 2 straight, including an outright win as a slight underdog in Lincoln against the Cornhuskers. They pushed in their other third win. They have gone over in 3 in a row as well. Big game for Maryland early next week against Michigan State, as you see those odds for the Terrapins on your screen. We'll get back to those in just a moment. USC as an underdog as of late. 5 games, they are 3-2 against the number with 2 outright victories. Double-digit spread tonight in College Park. So let's talk about the Terrapins again as a team that can make some noise in the NCAA tournament. 17th offensive efficiency, 21st defensive efficiency. The metrics that you would like to make a deep run in March. To win the Big Ten, again, they are not out of it. A 10-5 record at 9-1. The slight minus money favorites, Michigan, they take on Michigan State tomorrow. The Terps get the Spartans at home following that huge rivalry game. But a 10-1 price to win the Final Four and 50-1 to win the national championship. Could this Terrapins team make that run through the madness to provide some value in those numbers? I would say yes. We return on a Friday, tomorrow on the early line on Sports Grid, to recap the NBA being back in the Four Nations face-off. We'll talk to you then.